touch nobody with.
House aides are now speculating the president is plotting to give out mass pardons. Not really the behavior expect to see from someone who's going to be around for another 4 years. Reportedly, the president wants to hand out pardons even to people not asking for them. When you're a lame duck, they let you do it. According to one aide, he's threatened to pardon every person who ever talked to me. The offers haven't always been welcome. You see, one potential pardonee explained that the offer felt awkward, because the advisor didn't believe they had committed any crimes. Oh, they don't believe they've committed any crimes. But just wait till the president's memoir. It was all Greg's idea. The fact that you accepted a pardon just makes you look guilty. One person who was threatened with clemency said they believed being on the list could hurt their public persona. Oh, don't worry. If you work for this administration, you're going to want to keep your persona hidden from the public.
We have more breaking news in tonight. The president of the United States just issuing a slew of new pardons. Who's on the list?
The president continues his revenge against the Russia investigation tonight by rewarding two former advisors indicted by special counsel Robert Mueller, issuing full pardons to his former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, who was convicted for a slew of financial crimes, and to Roger Stone after commuting his sentence earlier this year. Also on this list, just released from the White House, Jared Kushner's father, Charles Kushner.
Remember, there were four guards for that security company Blackwater who were convicted in connection with killing Iraqi civilians. The word at the time was essentially they shouldn't have shot them at all. It was essentially that they murdered them. And now the president has pardoned them. Plus, Alex van der Zwaan, who was a lawyer and pleaded guilty in connection with the special counsel's inquiry into the Russia investigation, lied about Russia, pardoned. And another, George Papadopoulos, lied about Russia, pardoned.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta give. So live and let live or let go. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. So you better think it over. Well, if sweet talking you could make it come true, I would give you the world right now on a silver platter. But what would it matter? So smile for a while and let's be jolly. Love shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. I beg your pardon. never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. Pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could sing you a tune and promise you the moon, but if that's what it takes to hold you, I'd just as soon let you go. But there's one thing I want you to know. You better look before you leap. Still waters run deep, and there won't always be someone there.
For the song this week from the
Replacements, Lou Reed, Lynn Anderson, Golden Earring,
and thanks to
Rod Serling, Rudy Giuliani, Cartman Richard Nixon, J.L. Corvin, Seth Myers, Casey Hunt, Eamon Mohielden,
Michael
Flynn,
Rachel
Maddow, Stephen Colbert,
Brianna
Kyla,
and
Shepherd Smith.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Hi, folks. Before we begin taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Barris. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but it's a federal offense to make lascivious remarks on a television network broadcast. The penalty for this disgusting, un-American behavior is 1 year in prison or $10,000 fine or both. Anyone making a sick, submersive remark tonight will be arrested immediately. I then will personally escort the offender to federal prison for booking under edict number 364 of the Broadcasting Act of 1963. And it's a long drive to that prison, baby. Just you and me. No witnesses.
Okay, have fun, everybody. All right. We'll be right back.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Wait, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
You gotta try something.
You got a job at the radio station?
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
I'm Sharon Jones of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and you're tuned to WGXC 90.7 FM Accra. Come on, y'all, get funked up, get sold up, get on down with the sound of the town.
11et began as Norwegian composer Dan Peter Sundland's master's degree project, and we'll hear some of his lush orchestral jazz fully realized on the next Deep Threes. Plus music from Steve Moore, Phono Ghosts, Fringe Magnetic, and Jimmy Penguin. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Rob Gellis of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You know, I was listening to the radio, and I heard this thing.
90.7 FM, listener-aided and abetted radio.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Trump rightly vetoes Pentagon budget for the wrong reasons. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. President Trump raised hackles in Congress last week with his veto of the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA. The Pentagon's bloated budget is a $740 billion, 4,500-page monstrosity that siphons vast amounts of the public's scarce resources into what former Republican President Dwight Eisenhower called the military-industrial complex. Trump's grievances that prompted the veto include Congress's refusal to overturn a law commonly referred to as Section 230, heralded by groups like the Electronic Frontier Foundation and Free Press as a bedrock protector of free speech on the internet. Trump is also against the military renaming bases currently named after Confederate officers. A congressional veto override of Trump's petulance and racism, however, is only a victory for the war makers. The political fight over the war budget is happening amidst the surging COVID-19 pandemic as hospitals consider rationing oxygen, daily death tolls shatter world records, and as Trump's bungled warp speed vaccine rollout falls far short of his promises. Trump himself compounded the nation's pain by temporarily refusing to sign the already disastrously delayed COVID-19 relief bill last week. He delighted Democrats by decrying the paltry $600 relief check the bill specified for working-class Americans and demanding a $2,000 relief payment instead. His threats, made as he golfed in Florida, proved idle as he ultimately signed the bill without any changes. His antics did manage to interrupt state-run unemployment programs, delaying payments to millions of those who are most in need. As thousands of Americans die each day of COVID-19, Trump continues his crusade to overturn the election, raising hundreds of millions of dollars to fight baseless claims of voter fraud. Much of the money will likely end up in his pocket. Trump is now summoning his followers to Washington, D.C. to protest Congress's confirmation of the Electoral College results. Trump tweeted, "Statistically impossible to have lost the 2020 election. Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there. Will be wild," he tweeted. The last wild Trump rally in D.C. on December 12th, organized to protest the state-by-state Electoral College vote count, included hundreds of neo-fascists, white supremacists, and Proud Boys rioting and attacking pro-democracy counter-protesters, at least four of whom suffered stab wounds. The Proud Boys, the same group Trump told to stand back and stand by last September, have adopted the historic Hotel Harrington and its bar as their unofficial D.C. headquarters. The hotel announced it'll be closed from January 4th to 6th, quote, "for the safety of visitors and employees." Trump also said his veto of the Pentagon budget was over the bill's requirement to rename military bases that currently bear the names of Confederate officers. There are at least 10 bases in the United States, all in former Confederate states, named after men who took up arms against the United States and led troops into battle, leading to the deaths of an estimated 750,000 soldiers on both sides, more casualties than the U.S. suffered in all of its other wars combined. The NDAA requires the renaming of these bases, from Fort Hood in Texas to Fort Bragg in North Carolina to Forts Pickett and Lee in Virginia. They were all named between 1917 and 1942, a time when Jim Crow laws, lynching, and racial terror dominated the lives of African Americans in those southern states. Trump wants to control the press and restrict speech. His push to overturn Section 230, another rationale for his veto of the Pentagon budget, is central to that, allowing him to sue and pressure internet platforms while at the same time continuing to exploit them for his relentless campaign of lies and abuse. Ultimately, the $740 billion budget is a vast waste of our collective resources. Progressives in Congress annually present an alternative budget, placing human needs over corporate greed.
The priorities are wrong, and so I'm not going to vote to override his veto.
That's California Democratic Congressmember Ro Khanna speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
$740 billion is way too much defense spending. We're spending money on aircrafts, we're spending money on the modernization of nuclear weapons, and we can't find money to get food into people who need it. We can't find money to get more rental assistance for folks who are going to face evictions. We can't find money to get $2,000 into the pockets of Americans.
We should budget our priorities and limit military spending to amounts needed to promote peace and justice. Weapons and warfare won't lift us out of this pandemic, the epic battle of our time. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Saturday there is rain before noon in the forecast, with a high of 43 and a low around 24 with partly cloudy skies Saturday night. Sunday, snow is likely, mainly after 1 p.m., with a high near 33, a low around 28, and more snow on Sunday night. Monday, there is a chance of snow before 1 p.m. Then it becomes cloudy with a high of 36 and a low around 27. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Hi, folks. Before we begin taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Barris. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but it's a federal offense to make lascivious remarks on a television network broadcast. The penalty for this disgusting, un-American behavior is 1 year in prison, or $10,000 fine, or both. Anyone making a sick, subversive remark tonight will be arrested immediately. I then will personally escort the offender to federal prison for booking under Edict Number 364. Of the Broadcasting Act of 1963. And it's a long drive to that prison, baby. Just you and me. No witnesses.
Okay, have fun, everybody. All right.
Thank you. This is really me now. No more hiding. Listen, we're all worried. We're all in pain. That comes with having eyes, with having ears.
But just remember one thing. It can't get any worse. It can only get better. Quitting is not going to make you strong. Living will. So just hang on and hang in there. You know, I know all about the hating and the sneering. I'm a member of the Why Bother generation myself. But why did I bother to come out here tonight? And why did you? I mean, it's time. It begins with us, not with politicians, the experts, or the teachers, but with us. With you and with me, the ones who need it most. I believe, with everything that's in me, that the whole world is longing for healing. Even the trees, the earth itself are crying out for it. You can hear it everywhere. It's the same kind of healing I desperately needed, and finally feel has begun with you.
አምባሰል መናዱ ያንቺ ቃል ፈርሶ ነው ግሽነ መገደቡ የኔ ቃል ማክበር ነው ይብላኝልሽ ላንቺ ቃልሽ ለፈረሰው የጁን መቻጣል ቁሞ ተነሰው አልማዝን ያብባል እናና እንደነሽ ያምባሰል ተሟጋች አቅም ይግባኝ በበሽታዬ ላይ አንቺን ጣለብኝ አንቺን ጣለብኝ
Yeah.